This is God's word from Psalm 90. This is God's perfect word. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger or your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God be honored at the reading of his word. You may be seated. School starts tomorrow. Are you guys excited? No? I understand. That's how I always felt too. But there are some exciting things, right? You get to see your friends. You get to play sports. You get to, maybe some of you are going to a new school. Who's going to a new school this year? Got a few people going to a new school? All right, that's exciting. But maybe it also makes you worry a little bit. Maybe you might worry, will there be my friends in my classes? You might worry, will people like me? Well, you might worry, am I going to make the team, the sports team? And for some of our older students, I think school can be kind of confusing with some of the things that you see there. For example, you may see at your school boys who say they want to be girls. That's confusing. You may hear teachers that say people came from monkeys. Monkeys are what turned into people. That's confusing. So I can understand if there's sometimes school can make you a little worried. So students, this sermon is for you. I'm excited to preach this sermon just for you guys. But I will say, I think parents and all adults should probably pay attention too. I'm going to encourage you, parents and all adults, with what Jesus said. Jesus said that we should all turn and be like children in our humility and our faith. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. That even as I'm preaching for the children, for the students, I hope everyone can benefit from this sermon. So guys, this sermon was written by, or this passage that I read in the Bible was written by a man named Moses. And some of you may have heard of Moses before. And we're going to talk about some of the amazing things God did through Moses. But I'm going to teach you four things that I think you need to know this year as students. And this is what Moses is teaching us. First, if you're a student, you need to know God. That's the first thing. If you're a student this year, you need to know something else, that God is special. The next thing you need to know is that God is kind. And the last thing you need to know is that God has work for you to do, even you children, even you students. So, let's get going with our sermon. I said this is going to be my quickest one, so I gotta go. Dina is going to, you know, tell me if I'm taking too long. Oh, thanks, Dina. She's timing me. Okay. So, first, students need to know God. This is the first two verses from Psalm 90. It says, students, Lord, you have been our dwelling place from all generations and from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. So God is amazing. God is an amazing God. Do any of you students ever wonder, what does it really mean to know God? When I was a student, when I was a child, I used to really be confused when people would say, have a relationship with God. I thought that was a confusing thing. God, I can't see God. I can't talk to God. So we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean to know God? Well, Moses gives us a hint. He says knowing God is knowing that he's like a dwelling place. Or another word for that is a home. Knowing God is like a home. Have any of you guys, maybe this summer, went on a trip where you left home for a while this summer? And then you come back home and you see your room. And you come back home and you see your dog. You come back home and you see your toys. Doesn't that make you feel good when you're home after being gone? Or maybe you haven't seen your grandparents for a while. Maybe they live somewhere else. And then that first time you see them after a long time, they give you a big hug. You know that feeling? That's like a feeling of home. And knowing God is kind of like that. It's a feeling of home, of safety, of family. Now, you students already know this. If you're in school, you know that school is not home, right? Some people are just plain mean at school, aren't they? There's a lot of pressure at school. Do you feel pressure to be good, to not get in trouble? Do you feel pressure to make certain grades? So school is not home. But God wants to be your home this school year. He wants to be your safe place. He wants to be a place where you can have love and welcome and happiness, not just now, but forever. This is amazing that God is willing to give you this. And he invites you to come and have it by knowing him, by believing in him. So I encourage you, students, to believe in God, to know him as your home. So how can you know God, students? How can you know God? There's one great way that I'm going to encourage you to know God this year. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. This is a book that is for you. I don't care how old you are. This book is for you. God has spoken to humans, and that includes children, no matter how old you are. So this is God's word to you, and do you know that Jesus, the Son of God, do you think he was kind of busy? He had very important things to do when he was on this earth? I think he was. But do you know what Jesus said about children? He said, "Let the children come to me." He wants children to come to him. So you can come to him by faith today. So if you are struggling in any way, the Bible can help you. It can teach you some very helpful things about having a boyfriend or having a girlfriend, or maybe if you don't have one, but you wish you did. The Bible can teach you great things about if you're sad and you don't know why you're sad, or if you're sad and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to keep going. The Bible can teach you that you are very important. That is a great thing. You're important to God. Most of all, the Bible shows us Jesus. The Bible shows us who Jesus is and why he came to rescue us and how he can make us happy forever. So there's no book like the Bible because there's no God like our God. So if you want to read the Bible, we actually have a bunch of Bibles over there. For the children, we have them for like toddlers to elementary school age, and then we have like more like teen Bibles. So if you don't have one, or if you would just like one of those children's Bibles, please take one. And then children, students, if you don't know how to read the Bible, ask your parents, or you can ask any of us to help you. And I'll also invite you can come to Sunday school at this church at about 9:15 every Sunday. We teach the Bible to children, so you can come. And learn more about God. So that is a great way to know God, is to read the Bible. So students need to know God, need to know that he is your home, he's a dwelling place, and he'll be that for you forever. So let's go to the next thing that students need to know this year. You students need to know that God is special. God is special. There is no one like God. God is not the man upstairs. God is awesome. God is powerful. God is great. God is the best. The Bible calls him holy, and sometimes that's a confusing word, but it just means all those things I said. There's no one like God. He's special. He's the best. So God is hugely awesome. God is the one who, through his word, through speaking, he created the burning hot sun that would melt your face if you even got like within thousands of miles of it. God is the one who, through speaking, made icy cold planets that would freeze you to death if you got close to them. God is the one who created the Cartwheel Galaxy. I don't know, there's this new telescope that is showing pictures of the universe. Have y'all heard of this Cartwheel Galaxy? It is awesome. You should look it up today. It has beautiful pictures of it. It is 150,000 light years across. So a light year, I'll remind you, is how fast light travels. You know, you turn on a light and it just kind of lights up the whole room, just like that. So light travels 186,000 miles every second. Isn't that amazing? 186,000 miles every second. So how far do you think light could travel in a year going that fast? Pretty far, right? That's what a light year is. How far light travels in 1 year. And this galaxy, this one galaxy God made, is 150,000 light years across. It is huge. And this is what God made. So God is awesome. That is what it means for God to be special. God is not just hugely awesome, but God is also perfectly good. God is like pure light with no darkness at all. So when God is awesome, we can just really understand, students, that God is really big, right? God is really big. And if God is big, what does that make us? Small. Yeah, we're small. I have a question for you, Thomas. Who would win an arm wrestling contest? You or a bug?
Me.
That's true. Yes, okay. Lucy, who would win in a spelling contest? You or a turtle? Yes, I think so. So guys, Lucy, Thomas, and everybody, just like you are so much bigger than a bug, and you're so much smarter than a turtle, God is so much bigger than us, and so much smarter than us, and so much better than us. It says in these verses, verses 3 through 12, in verse 5 and 6, it says that we are just like a dream compared to God. Just quick, when you wake up and the dream is gone. Or we're like grass compared to God. We're there one day, maybe you get cut up the next day and you're gone. So God is big and we are small. Also, God is perfectly good. And if God is good, what are we compared to God? Completely bad. Compared to God? Perfect, pure light. I'm nothing compared to that. So I want you to imagine, Macy, can you imagine this? If you're at school and Miss Cynthia gets on the intercom and says, "Good morning, Cowan Elementary School. All the teachers are leaving today, and we're going to put all the meanest bullies in charge of the school today. Y'all have a good day." Would you like that? No, we wouldn't like that. A principal shouldn't put bullies in charge. A principal should punish bullies, right? So if that's what we know, that's the right thing for a principal to punish bullies, we know that it's right for God to punish bad or evil. And sadly, scarily, that's us. So perfectly good God does punish bad things, and that is a good thing that God does that. It says that God returns man to dust, that he will sweep away evil people. In these verses, he has power and anger. Who can understand God's power and his anger? So children, this is a warning that the Bible gives us, that not everyone goes to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. The Bible says that when we die, one day we will stand before God. And Jesus will separate the good from the bad. We're all bad, so our only hope is to go to Jesus. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a couple minutes. So, verse 12 gives us a good summary. It says, if you know God, you will know the right way to live. If you know this awesome God, if you know this special God, you will understand how to live. It says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So, children, I have a something you should do this year. If you understand this awesome God, who He is, a way to listen to God is this. You should listen to your parents. All of our parents like this point. We should listen to our parents. Think about it. What if there was a superhero who came and gave you a present? And don't you think that would be a really special gift and you'd want to use it and treasure it all your life? Or maybe if a professional athlete you like came and gave you a gift, or the President of the United States came and gave you a gift, that would be a special gift. Well, the God of the universe gave you, children, a special gift. God gave you your parents. Now, I will admit, and all of our parents here will admit, we are not perfect parents. I make a lot of mistakes as a parent. But that doesn't change the fact that God gave parents to children as a gift. So, children, if you know God, you should be thankful for the gift He's given you of parents. So that means, guys, when your kids or your parents tell you it's time to go to bed, you should listen to them. When your parents give you a curfew on the weekend, you should listen to them. Or maybe they give you rules about your phone, you should listen to them. And here's the amazing thing. Listening to your parents makes you so much happier than fighting with your parents. Just give it a try. And I think everyone will be really happy that you gave it a try. You will be a happier child as you are trying to listen to your parents. Though, I will say, kids, this is important. There's one time you should not listen to your parents. Are you listening? There's one time you shouldn't listen to your parents. If your parents ever tell you to do something that disobeys what God says in the Bible, you should respectfully listen to God and not your parents. God is the ultimate authority, even over parents. But even then, you should be respectful to your parents. So students should know that God is special. There is no one like God. Next, in verses 13 through 16 of Psalm 90, we'll see that students need to know that God is kind. God is kind. Let's take a look. If you have your Bible, take a look at Psalm 90, verses 13 through 16. So Moses says this to God, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." That means feel bad for us because we are weak. We mess up. We sin. "Have pity on your servants." And then Moses says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." And he says in verse 16, "Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children." So these verses point us to the reality that God does have pity on His children. God does give happiness to His children. God does have power to rescue His children. Praise God for that. And so I want to tell you the story of Moses in Egypt. Has anyone heard the story of Moses in Egypt before? So Moses was a part of God's people. He was a Jewish person. And God's people were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And there was a bad pharaoh, a bad king of Egypt who was enslaving them. Moses gets in trouble. He runs away to another land. And then while he's there, God speaks to him, remember, in a burning bush, and He calls him to go and set God's people free, to go back to Egypt. And so Moses goes back with a message for Pharaoh. "Let my people go." Remember? That's the message. And what does Pharaoh say? "Yes." Good job. He says, "No." So God says, "All right, I'm going to show my power in 10 ways, and then I will rescue my people." So here's what God did. And I want you students to imagine that you're there when all this was happening. So there's this huge river in Egypt. It's called the Nile River. Huge. I mean, I don't even know how big it is. It is probably bigger, wider than this whole building. It might be wider than Cowan. It is huge. It's flowing, a mighty river of water. And God turns it into blood. Can you imagine a river of blood? God then brings hundreds of thousands of frogs. They come hopping all into people's houses and everywhere. He brings these little bugs called lice that are crawling on everyone in Egypt. He brings flies buzzing in your face. He kills lots of animals like cows. People get rashes and boils on their skin. I hate itchy poison ivy rashes. Everyone has them. Then God sends hail down from the sky, ice coming down from the sky. More bugs come, locusts come to eat up all the food in the farms. And then in the middle of the day, it's pitch black dark. God makes it dark. And Pharaoh still says, no, you can't leave. After all that God had done to show his power, to show that he's the true God. So God says, okay, there's one more thing I'm going to do. Then Pharaoh will let my people go. Tonight, this last night, the firstborn child of every house is going to die. From Pharaoh on the throne, his child, down to the slaves, their children. But God said there was one way to save the children in your house. You take a lamb. You kill the lamb, and you put his blood on your door, right? And it's through the blood of the lamb is the only way for the children to be safe. So children, how would you sleep that night if you were in Egypt and you knew that God was coming down to kill the firstborn child of every house? It would be terrifying. So why did God do it? Well, what happened? I forgot to say what happened. Well, it did happen. All of the Egyptians, their firstborn children died. All of God's people who had the blood of the lamb or their house, their children were safe. And Pharaoh did finally let them go. So why did God do all of this? God did it to show the world and us today that he has power to save. And he wanted to show his kindness that one day there would be another lamb who would come. And his blood would rescue us. And so kids, here's the most important part of the sermon. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is the Son of God, so he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus, as the Savior, is perfectly good. He never sinned. There's no one like Jesus. And Jesus shows us the kindness of God. He's the Lamb of God. Jesus took all the bad stuff we do, all the times we disobey our parents, all the times we're angry or that we lie. Jesus took all of that on himself, and Jesus died on the cross. Just like the lamb died in Egypt to protect God's people, Jesus died for us to protect us from the wrath of God. It's like God, it's like you and me. All of our sins make us filthy before God. It's like we have a filthy coat on. And it's like God took that coat off of you and he put it on Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, as the Son of God, is perfect. He's never sinned. So he has a perfectly pure white coat. And it's like God took that pure white coat and gave it to you by believing, if you believe in Jesus. So God is willing to forgive you of all your sins because Jesus died and because Jesus rose again. So students, and I would say parents, and every adult here, every person, you should come to Jesus today. You should believe in him and trust that he will be your rescuer. You remember I said there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. It's not by coming to church. Coming to church does not get to heaven. It's not by reading the Bible, like I said earlier. Reading the Bible does not get you to heaven. Only coming to Jesus and receiving him and placing yourself in him, that'll get you into heaven. 100% of the time. So kids, there's two ways the Bible describes what it means to believe in Jesus. So first you turn, and then you trust. You turn. That means you admit that you're bad. And you see that the badness is awful, and you don't want to do that anymore, so you turn away from that, and you turn toward Jesus, and you trust Him. You trust that His death counted for you, and that if you believe in Him, He will forgive you. It's kind of like that Passover. You know, the children had to trust in that house, even though they were probably scared, they had to trust that the blood on the door would protect them. So too, to have faith in Jesus means you trust that His blood protects you from God's wrath. And I will say that if you trust in Jesus, He will forgive you. He will accept you. He will make you new on the inside like you won't believe. And for parents, this is where, for adults, this is where I say we all should become like children. Children sometimes have an easier time admitting that they're weak and they need help, right? Sometimes as we get older, we don't want to admit that we're weak or that we've been going the wrong way. But I encourage you, if you don't know Christ, to admit that you need His help. To admit that God is good and you are not. To admit that He is God and I am not. So this is the kindness of Jesus, kids. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So you can know eternal life. You can know Jesus today. So the last thing I want to say to you students is that God has work for you to do. God has work for you. Do you guys ever feel like as kids that you don't have important things to do, like adults do the important things, and you guys just have to sit around and we don't let you do the important work? Well, God has something amazing for you to do this year at school. So verse 17 says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So God's favor is His goodness that He gives to those who believe in Him. And His goodness goes all the way into us and makes us new on the inside so that we can serve Him. And God will establish the work of our hands. So students, here's what you can do this year at school, at Cowan Elementary School, at South Middle School, and at North Middle School. When you go to school tomorrow, I can't believe it's tomorrow. When you go to school tomorrow, show kindness to the lonely child that you see at lunch. When you go to your school tomorrow, work hard in your classes to give honor to God who put you there. As you're in school this year, listen to your parents. And as you're in school this year, tell everybody about Jesus. That He's the one who will rescue them, that He's the only way to heaven. And He is the best life to live. To know Jesus is better than any other life. If you give yourself to Jesus, students, you will change the world. You will change the world. And you will live with Jesus forever in His heavenly home. So let's pray. Father God, we love You. We thank You, Father, that You love children. Lord, we thank You for every student who's here. And we pray, Lord, that they would know Your great love for them. We pray, Lord, that You would bless them. We thank You, Lord, for eternal life in Jesus. And we pray in His name. Amen.